And hear now this reading from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew chapter 18 verses 15 through 20. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we must hear and receive your word to live eternally. These things we pray in Jesus' holy and gracious name. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite movies is The Nun's Story. It's a rather old film, not too old, it is in color. It is a wonderful film with one of my favorite actresses, Audrey Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn was a beautiful lady, the Felicia Lockhart, I think one would say, of the 1950s and 60s, an incredibly beautiful, delicate woman who had an incredible strength in her acting. And this is especially true in her role as Sister Luke in the movie The Nun's Story. In this movie, she played a nun who was also a nurse, whose goal and ambition in life was to go and be a nurse in the Congo, in the Belgian Congo, in Africa, and to serve in a missionary role, bringing medicine and the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who had never heard it before. And every step along the way, she was discovering something new about herself and something that troubled her and something that would cause her to stumble. Had she not been in touch with God's grace, she never would have made it even to the Congo. She was a brilliant woman, a wonderful nurse, and a wonderful example to her sisters in the convent. She finally did get to go to the Congo. And I'll never forget what she did when she knelt down beside her bed on the freighter on the way to the Congo. She knelt down to say her prayers one evening and she said, God, please let me do some good. Oh, that's something, that is a prayer, my brothers and sisters, that we should all be able to pray. God, please let me do some good. One of the things I find most fascinating about this movie is the depiction of the life in the convent, the life of the sisters, the life of the women as they prepare to enter the conventual life, the life of religious women under orders in the Roman Catholic Church. It's a life that we have trouble grasping and comprehending today, especially Protestants living in America. We have a real problem with this concept of nuns living in community under strict religious rules and disciplines that make what we think of as discipline seem laughable. For example, the nuns were required to carry with them a little book, and every time they would sin, they were required to take out a pencil and write down, I accuse myself of, and then the sin they had committed. Some of them were like, I accuse myself of looking in a mirror and seeing my face. I accuse myself of thinking about myself and my need for a drink of water. I accuse myself of getting a drink of water without asking permission beforehand. I accuse myself of talking during the great silence. The great silence in all monastic and conventual communities went from 9 p.m. at the time of final prayers called compline until morning Eucharist, again at 9 a.m. So for the whole period of the night, you live in silence and you talk only under extreme conditions and with special permission. In a convent or a monastery, that was the rule. That's the rule today in most convents and monasteries. Well, if you talk during the great silence, you had to write down that sin in the book. I accuse myself of talking in the great silence. I accuse myself of talking of frivolous matters. I accuse myself of not stopping everything and going immediately to evening prayer. I mean, the things and the lists of sins that they wrote in those books, almost laughable. They seem so silly. And yet each and every one of them address their common life and sins against that common life. But it didn't stop with writing down. Can you imagine if you had to write down every sin you commit in a book?
It'd be a big book.
It'd be a big book, he said, yeah. Oh, mine would. I'd have to roll it on rolls and rolls of toilet paper. I mean, I just wouldn't have enough. They had this tiny little book to write all their sins in. And then at the end of each day, they were required to go and to prostrate themselves flat on their faces on the marble floor in front of the Mother Superior, face down, and say, Mother Superior, I accuse myself of, and list their sins for the day. And when they finish listing their sins, if there's a nun there who knew that they did not include all of their sins, they then had to, that other nun had to stand up and announce in Christian charity and love, I accuse my sister of, and then you add a sin or whatever sins you happen to see that sister do. And then there was penance to be paid. And then there was absolution to be said for each one of those sins and each one of those nuns. Can you imagine living in a situation like that, where not only did you have to accuse yourself of your sins before the whole congregation, but other people could stand up and accuse you of sins? But would you want to be on the floor? You might be able to stand up and say, I accuse so-and-so, but could you really take it on the floor then? That's a good question. That's a relationship. That's a life. That is a way of living that is foreign to us here in late 20th, almost 21st century Western America, Protestant America. And yet it describes a relationship in a community that was bound by a covenant that really is not all that different from the covenant that we are called to have here in Beverly Drive United Methodist Church. What did Jesus say about how you deal with people who have sinned against you or against the church or against someone else? Let's take a look. This is Jesus' version of Conflict Resolution 101. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. Go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. Not sit back like the high and holy Christian that you are and wait for them to come to you and grovel on the floor and say, I've sinned against you. Mea culpa, I'm at fault. No, none of that. No waiting for them to come and grovel before you and beg for forgiveness. No going down to Sunday school and gossiping about what they did to you and trashing them and bad-mouthing them. It seems like the church has gotten it backwards, doesn't it? We're called to go to our brothers and sisters who have sinned against us and point out where we believe we've been faulted. Not go and bad-mouth them, not go and gossip against them, and not wait for them to come groveling before you for forgiveness. We are called, go to those who've sinned against us and point out where we believe in private, a fault exists. That's how sisters and brothers in Christ are supposed to act. But it doesn't stop there. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, but if you are not listened to, oh, let's back up. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. This is not to get your pound of flesh and get your revenge on how they mistreated you. No. This is to regain the friendship and the love and the relationship that God offers us all. And through the community, each other. This is an attempt to reach out in love, to try to regain the relationship that God has given us, not to get that pound of flesh. I want to see them beg for forgiveness. No, not that at all. It's to reestablish the relationship. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. What do you do after you haven't been listened to by yourself in private? You go and you start to trash them? No. You go and get a witness or two, someone who knows what's gone on, and you go to that person again in private and try to work out what you believe has been done to you. That person may not realize they have sinned and need to have it pointed out. It doesn't stop there. Then, if that person still doesn't admit that a sin has been committed, then, and only then, is it to be taken to the church as a whole. And if they do not recognize the church's authority, the whole community of believers, then they are to be treated. I love this one, especially around April the 15th. It says, Gentile and a tax collector. You've got to treat them like the IRS, which does not mean you grovel before them. It means you put them out of your community. This is how Jesus has told us we are to relate to one another. As brothers and sisters, go into each other in secret, in private, to work out the bruises that have been exchanged. How many times have I held a grudge against someone that I loved, but who had hurt me? I could fill a whole roll, like I said, a whole roll of toilet paper, a whole book trying to take catalog of all the times that I have held grudges, I have held pains, I have held anguishes, I have held anxieties and fears, and especially those horrible grudges. I could fill a book. I'm sure you could too. We all hold those grudges. We all hold those angers, those bruises that come when we butt it up against each other, not thinking about what we say or do. You know what? Those angers, those grudges, those pains, they only hurt us. They don't hurt the person that we're feeling bad thoughts toward. They're only tearing us up inside. I love the saying, and it's somewhat true, that we are not punished for our sins, we are punished by our sins. By the sins of others, especially when we hold them deep down inside and refuse to let them go. Jesus' words today don't end here, however. He promises forgiveness. He says, but truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If you release the sin, it's released. If you retain it, it's retained. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am among them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, that's something that relates directly to this. It's not separate. So often we want to separate out those last couple of verses from the verses that go before and think that means that if Jerry and I get together and pray that we're going to get a Cadillac, we'll get a Cadillac. And that ain't, he'd rather win the lottery, he says. You know, that ain't what it's about. It's about this relationship. It's about this situation. It's about asking for forgiveness and proclaiming forgiveness for others. When we go to one who has sinned against us in private and say, this is what you have done to me, and that person recognizes their sin, forgiveness is to be immediate. Not, well, I'm just going to let them dangle here for a while. They've done this to me for ages, and now I'm going to make them suffer. Oh, that's what we want to do, isn't it? I see people nodding. Even without my glasses on, I can see it. Oh, we want to make them dangle. Make them pay. Nope, no payment. Nope. Immediate. When they recognize their sin, it's immediate forgiveness. Why? Because we have been forgiven immediately by Christ. Indeed. The neighbor who sins against us can and does represent Christ to the world and to us. If we hold a grudge, if we hold an anger, if we hold a pain against one of our sisters or brothers, we're holding it against the body of Christ. And that destroys us and the body. That's what Paul was talking about in his first letter to the Corinthians when he said, that if you come and eat and drink, not discerning the Lord's body, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. He's not saying that you have to come worthy to the table. You can't come worthy, but you can come worthily. You can come in a worthy manner. You can come discerning the presence of Jesus amongst us. In the elements on the table, in the pew sitting right next to you. The body of Christ. And if you're holding a grudge against that person three rows down on the left, it's going to get between you and the table. If you are angry at the person four rows back on the right, you are going to be blocked in going to the table because you're not going to be discerning presence of Jesus and that brother or sister who's wronged you. That's why this confession of sin is so important. That's why this confession of sin to God is so important. The recognition that we ourselves have received grace and forgiveness should break down the barriers in our relationships with our brothers and sisters. And that's what we're going to do today. When it comes time for us to make our confession, our general confession of sin to God in heaven, there will be a time of silence before the words of absolution. And I invite you in that time to lay before God whatever may be serving as a barrier between you and your neighbor, between you and that person three rows down on the other side of the sanctuary, between you and someone who's already gone on to glory, between you and someone who's no longer with us for whatever reason. I invite you to give up those bruises, those angers, those frustrations, those grudges. Give them up to God today. He'll take them. He's already taken them and paid for them on the cross. He'll take them from you today if you'll simply release them. And then receive by faith the wonderful grace of forgiveness and the grace of transforming love that comes from the table of our Lord. Come today and receive God's love again and allow Him to make us one. One of the wonderful things about that, the nun story, that movie, is the recognition that no matter what sins these nuns committed during their day, there was absolution to be heard. The wonderful good news, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Immediately. And that is what is offered us today. Receive the wonderful good news that we are forgiven, and receive the wonderful grace by which we may live as born again in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us affirm our faith of the historic confession of the Nicene Creed, which you will find in the back of your hymnals, page 880. And let us stand. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.